I grew up in a small town on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State, Port Angeles, Washington, if you've been there. It's quite small, like as in we didn't get a McDonald's until I was 10, and it was really big news, front page of the newspaper news. It actually didn't get a Playland until I was a teenager, so I have never gotten to play in a McDonald's Playland. Or small, like my 10th grade geometry teacher was also my dad's 10th grade geometry teacher. That kind of small. I didn't love small town life, to be honest. I mean, I didn't know much about bigger cities, but I understood that bigger would mean like more happening, more people, more complexity, more diversity, more impact, just more. And I loved the idea of more. We weren't a traveling family, but sometimes we'd drive to swim meets across the state or to visit family, and I would sit in the back with my sisters, and I was the one with one of those paper maps to follow us along our route. It was long before GPS, right? So I would notice as we were going along that some of the towns, as we would pass through them, some had bigger dots, and some had smaller dots. And of course, the size of the dot corresponded to how many people were in that town, how big the town was. Sometimes we'd get an updated version of the map, like the next year, and I'd see that actually a town that used to have a small dot suddenly had a slightly bigger dot. I was like, Dad, how would our town get a bigger dot? My dad's an architect, so growing up, he was always actually trying to get the town to invest in new buildings for the downtown area to help with tourism. If you've been there, it's beautiful. It should actually have a lot of amazing tourist sites and attraction and be able to grow into a bigger dot. But it turns out that the town wasn't interested in my dad's ideas or in becoming a big dot, which basically sealed the deal for me. I was clear that as soon as I could, I was leaving Port Angeles and moving to a big dot. My partner, Carrie, she's heard this story, and she kind of teasingly, actually, at different moments in our lives together, when we've needed to make big decisions, she's said, well, you just need to remember that you need to go where the big dot is. And of course, I mean, she doesn't just mean like the size of the city per se, but more about the kind of scope, the vision, the complexity. It's big dot is a way to describe the zone that my brain, my person just feels most at home in. It's one of the reasons that theological school was such a good fit for me. I mean, what's a bigger dot than God? Right? That's the point. Nothing. It's God. It's also, I think, why I was drawn to Unitarian Universalism. I believe we are a big dot faith. I mean, not always in numbers, but the field of our faith is big and expansive. It's what we call scripture. It's limitless. And where we find meaning, where we believe we can find the holy, the sacred, it's in everything and everywhere, even beyond what we can know or see. And our welcome that we offer here, it's big. I mean, it's a big dot faith. It's also one of the reasons that I felt called here. This was a good fit for me, not just because of the size of the church being big, but because of the desire and drive that I experience amongst this community to make a big impact, have big, big compassion, big depth, and to go big with our vision. Now, sometimes I feel like over the years that the church kind of attributes that back to me. But I hope you experienced over the past few months how clearly this has nothing to do with me. This is a big dot church with big dreams. All of this helps explain why a few months ago, as I inched closer to my 14-week sabbatical, I was actually feeling quite sad, which I know is ridiculous, right? I mean, who is sad anticipating a sabbatical? But it's true, I was feeling sad and I had a serious FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. Because who would I be without all this big work, this big community impact that we have together, the big Sunday services, the big email pile? Okay, I was fine without that. But who would I be outside of the big dot? But that was the plan, to let all of the big go, and for a time to go small, to rest, like the word sabbatical implies, you know, Sabbath, maybe do some writing, hang out with my kids and my partner, to spend time in my home like I live there. I mean, isn't it amazing how sometimes you can sleep in your home, all your stuff is there, yet somehow still kind of feel like a visitor? Thank you for the notes that you wrote to me. Many of you wrote notes as I was heading on sabbatical with wishes for the time that I would be away. You said things like, slow down, sit and look at things, do nothing, play. This world today, especially when you are always trying to go big, can wear you down. So that the big dot can just be big tired, or worse, big burnout. And that is not what we're after. So your words help me remember how important it is for us all to find those ways to go small. So Ready or Not sabbatical began, and I walked into the wide open space of all the small things. I can't say for sure when the switch happened, but it was sooner than you'd think based on all that I just said. It was maybe a week or so in, and I started to feel it, this kind of letting go, this emptying out. One of the most insidious weeds in my garden is a bindweed. Right, okay. So a bindweed, I mean, it's just like it sounds. It wraps itself around every little plant, which if you keep up with it, I mean, it's annoying, but it's not the end of the world. But if you don't keep up with it, which I had not, it was on everything, everywhere. And so I spent hours in the sun unwinding the bindweed. You can't just yank it because it yanks the whole plant out, right? So unwinding the bindweed from all of the plants in my garden, and there are a lot of plants. And as I unwound the bindweed, I could feel myself unwinding too. All of the stories, all of the moments of the last few years, just releasing. My kids were in school in those first few weeks. It was May, remember? So I was like home by myself with my dog. My world was so small. I thought to myself sometimes, like, oh, I should write. I have all this time. And then that thought would pass, and I'd go back to pulling the weeds, moving rocks. Rocks, I brought a few, so you could not think that they were, like, anything particularly interesting. Just rocks. I could fill up 5 buckets in a day, actually, of rocks. I'd move them from one area to the other. One had a lot of rocks, one didn't have any rocks, so I just moved them. And then alternately, I'd fill the buckets with weeds, and then I'd sit back and I'd stare at the rocks and the plants newly broken free from all that bindweed. And the trees. And along the way, I could feel all of the parts of my life up until this point. My children, my marriage, my call to ministry. All these big things just shake loose like one slow, deep breath. But what surprised me, what caught me off guard in all of this was that as my world got smaller, as I tended to all the small things, I started to feel more in touch, maybe more than ever, with the really big. Right? as I got small, I could feel more in touch, more than ever, the really big. It's an irony that mystics have observed for a long time, actually, the ways that emptying out somehow connects us with the fullness of everything. Or as the great scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson says it, we are part of the universe. We are in this universe. But more importantly, maybe than either of those two things, is that the universe is in us. The universe is in us. When we go small, we make space for the universe to show up all around us and in us. Or maybe it makes space for us to see the universe, all the forces at work, how we are not in charge, not even a little, which turns out is a relief and a gift. To release the universe into its vastness, its mystery, its unfathomable beauty, its creativity. Going small is a practice of humility and radical partnership and surrender. And to get practical for a second, it turns out that going small makes you a better friend, a better lover, a better spouse, a better parent, or actually in my experience, it just helps you pay more attention to all the ways that you have a lot of work to do in all of those arenas. Small is all. That's what Adrian Marie Brown, community organizer, pleasure activist, says about this idea. She says, small is all. In an interview, she'll just say that, small is all. And then as a follow-up, the interviewer usually says, can you say some more about that? And she'll say, you know, fractals. Do you know fractals? I'm guessing actually some here today might be able to tell us a lot about fractals, the mathematical theory. It turns out that is not a simple or singular thing that you might try to explain in a short sermon. But so for today, let me say that fractals are never-ending repeated patterns found in nature. They are infinitely complex patterns that are self-similar across all the different scales, right? So they are created by repeating just a simple process over and over in an ongoing feedback loop. Trees are natural fractals, natural fractals, and actually ferns are natural fractals, good examples. Each tree branch is a copy of the one that came before us, although they do not go on forever, at least not materially. And yet, in another way, trees and the patterns they set impact everything else around them. And then so on, and so on. I watched this happen this summer when the tree that we trimmed last fall, I mean, it was down to like two small little branches. And then suddenly, over the summer, it became something else, just repeating itself over and over and over, reaching far to the sky. But then the apple tree, which we never trimmed, branches overgrown on top of each other. They were then heavy when the hail came. We have no apples this fall. This is the kind of thing that she's pointing to, that when she talks about fractals, not that we are literally and materially all self-similar or repeating processes, but more that the practices and patterns that we embody in our daily lives, at the personal, daily, small level, is in turn refracted into everything. The universe in us. So that whatever we are practicing and growing in the small is always in turn reflected in the big. So that as we go small, again, we allows life to go big. Like the social activist and wise teacher Grace Lee Boggs once said, transform yourself to transform the world. It's a way of seeing our lives as a front line for liberation, for justice, for healing, to think about how you are, as Brown says, upholding the sacred bargain, the upholding your end of the sacred bargain. She says the sacred bargain is that your life is a singular miracle, never to be repeated, which means your life is a cell-sized unit of the human organism. Brown calls all this living as a fractal. To consider how we can, in the smallest everyday ways, be a living realization of the world we long to create. So if you think about it, what are the practices of your life? The practices of your family, with your friends, and would you want these practices to be refracted out across the whole universe? And I ask these questions with the full knowledge that most of us do not have the privilege of a 14-week sabbatical, right, where you still get all your regular pay, but you don't have your regular work. I mean, we should, right? Seems like a good idea, but most of us don't. So it means we need to ask the question, whatever the context of our lives, the requirements of our lives, what are the patterns and practices in the smallest places that you are embodying? Or what are the practices of your work life, your neighborhood, or our church? I mean, how are we a reflection of the world that we seek? If our patterns in our lives are judgment, overwork, defensiveness, greed or hoarding or selfishness, then that's the world in turn we are creating. And equally, if our small patterns are generosity, healthy boundaries, taking time for friendship, listening to nature and stillness, singing and tenderness, then that's the world that we are creating. Living as a fractal means recognizing our interconnectedness, our interbeing. It is transformation that is personal, which is not the same as individual, right? Transform yourself to transform the world. It's personal, but not individual. It's actually a call into deeper relationship and a living into the ways that we are not in this life alone. After all, there is no way to have that ongoing feedback loop, like fractals require, without relationship. Going small puts us in touch with how much we need each other. How help is not optional, right? It puts us in touch with our limits. We all need all of us. And this is important because the risk when I talk about going small that it'll sound like a call to get lost just in yourself, right? Especially for those of us with relative privilege. But going small isn't a matter of limiting change to your own life or to your own small circle, but it's taking seriously that that is that front line. And to remember that that universe in turn is in us so that we go small and life can go big. It's probably already clear to you, but it turns out I love sabbaticals. I think they're awesome. Mine was healing and restorative and connective in all the ways that your notes wished for. So much so that once I crossed over to the other side, where I started to realize that small was not the opposite of big, but actually a way there, instead of worrying about leaving church, I was starting to worry about coming back. And it's true, re-entry has not been the easiest. Right? I felt clumsy and overwhelmed, behind on emails, sorry. I can't remember which login to use for what. There's so many. And fluorescent lights, I mean, they're harsh, it turns out. My spiritual director says all of this is a good sign. She says if it was all going smoothly, then I'd think that sabbatical didn't actually make that big of an impact at all, that actually you didn't really go small at all. As usual, she is irritatingly right. But the sabbatical did make an impact in all the ways that we might have hoped. And so the invitation I'm living into is not to try to return to exactly who I was or or to who the congregation was before, how we were before, but instead to learn and to build and to continue from this place, which for me means figuring out how, even in this return to a big dot church and claiming that, finding ways how we can go small in ways that allow all of us to go big, right? Which means that I'm really leaning into the lesson about needing help. Because I realize I do need help. We all need help if we are going to go small. I need help, and we all need help from people who will hold us accountable, who will ask us about how we are practicing that living realization of our values. People who I can ask to ask me about my spiritual practices, about my rocks, about how much time I'm spending in my garden or with my children. People who will see my capacity to keep my email inbox managed, not as a sign of success, but as a problem. Because they know that the big that connects through the small takes a lot of time far away from screens and efficient replies. I need, and we all need, people who can ask us, who we can ask to tell us about the actual impact that our lives are making. What patterns are we creating? What universe are we creating? People who will love us enough to be honest and constructive, and who will love us through our struggles to live up to our own best intentions. We all need a circle of loving accountability to help us to try to go small in this world that so often wants us to keep paying attention to only the big. Not a lot of people. Fittingly, like a small group would do it. Maybe literally your small group from church would be a good place to start. We should expect this in our church, that we can be a place to hold each other accountable like this, to be reminded and invited or lovingly nudged, to stay grounded and also groundless, to be driven and yet also entirely surrender in our big faith, in a church filled with so many big dreams. It is so important that we help each other so that we can go small, because it is through the small, personal, deep work that we have the chance to shift the biggest big and to free us all now to create that big world we dream about. Amen. Blessed be.